Dear ones, for this afternoon's reading, I've chosen from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 14. I'd like to read beginning with verse 13 to the end. Gospel of Matthew 14, beginning with 13.
Želim Evanđelje po Mateju 14. Glavu da se pročita početak od 13. broj.
So we'll pick up the reading here. This takes place after Herod had killed John the Baptist, and he heard the fame of Jesus, and he is a little nervous now, thinking that it's John the Baptist that has come back. And so after the disciples buried John, we'll pick up the reading. So when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart, give you them to eat." And they say unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, "Bring them hither to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the 4th watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. May God bless our reading. Let us kneel before our Lord in prayer. Dear ones, as we come together to worship our Lord, we come together and we have to really consider, why do we come? Like, why am I here? We say we come to worship God. And so God is, the Bible tells us God is a spirit, and we can only worship him in spirit and in truth. And so when we come to worship him, we have to eliminate ourselves out of the equation. We can't think about ourselves as we seek to worship him. And we read as we come together here, we read of Herod, who we just touched upon him. We know that he killed John the Baptist, not because he wanted to, but because he was told to. And that conscience of his was pricked. So when he heard of Jesus, he heard of the fame of Jesus and his preaching. He heard of the miracles that he was performing. His conscience was immediately pricked. He knew what he did was evil. And he thought, this is now John the Baptist come back. So there was an unrest in him. And so when Herod is feeling that way, it's God speaking to him to tell him that you have to change. Now, what he does with that, he will either accept it or he will try to quiet his conscience. Others may try to soothe it. Oh, it's not. It's you did the right thing, or so on, and try to diminish what his conscience was telling him was wrong. Now, when we come together, we have the Word in all its purity and truth. And if we're going to worship our Lord in truth, that means we cannot quiet our conscience. So when the Lord speaks to us and we see the examples of our Lord and his life of purity and holiness and the love and the service in which he served his disciples and the people, and if we see ourselves lacking in that, we're not to quiet our conscience. We're not to say, well, that's just, you know, I'm so many thousands of years removed. Jesus isn't here. Reasons why I am failing to subdue, to quiet the conscience that I know is telling me there needs to be a change in your life. So if we're going to worship our Lord, we have to worship him to come to glorify him. And we have to do that through hearts that are purified. And so his word purifies us and brings us into that communion with him, as we read of an experience here that Peter had. And where we picked up the reading after Jesus was told that of John the Baptist's death and so on, it tells us that Jesus heard it, and then he departs by a ship into a desert place set apart. The people, when they heard of it, that he left, they followed him on foot out of the cities to go to meet him there. And it tells us that there's a large number here by the amount of the people that were fed. But he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And it tells us that the evening has come, and his disciples who are with him, they tell him, hey, it's getting late now, the people are hungry, we have nothing to give them, tell them to go, so that they can still have time to go to the markets and buy themselves some food. And Jesus doesn't leave anyone wanting. They came to him. They came to him to be healed, and he's not going to set them back now, scampering and looking for food as they're all hungry. And he says, they don't need to depart. He said, they need not depart. Give them something to eat. And they tell him, in this account it doesn't tell us, but another account it tells that there's a young lad there, and he only has 5 little loaves and 2 fishes. And he asks the lad, give me your loaves and give me your fish. And the lad gave the fish and he gave the loaves. And it wasn't what the lad had. It wasn't nothing that he did, but he simply gave to the Lord that which the Lord had asked. And that is simply also what we have. We have nothing to give to the Lord. But what we do have He asks it from us. He asks us our heart. Give me your heart. What is my heart? What is it good for? He says, give it to me. And so as he took these loaves, it says he blessed and he gave to the disciples, told them all to sit, the multitudes, thousands. It says 5,000 men plus women and children. If we just give one more woman and one more child to the equation, you're at 15,000 people. But maybe it was more, or maybe it was less. It doesn't matter. The number is astoundingly huge for 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And so Jesus, it tells us, he commands them, sit down. He takes it, looks up into heaven. He blesses it. And he breaks it. And he gives it to the disciples, and the disciples now give it to the multitudes. It says all ate, all were filled, and they still had the remains, the fragments, filled up 12 baskets. Now, I believe it is in Mark or in John, it tells us that when the people saw this, they wanted to make him to be their king. They wanted to crown him as a king. What he was doing was miracles. He was feeding them. This was good for their physical man. They wanted a king like him that could do a miracle, do whatever he said, it happens. This is who they need. This is who they need to be their king. And Jesus has no part of that. And it, in our reading here, it just simply tells us that he tells his disciples to get into a ship and go before him onto the other side. He tells them, go, depart, and he goes and tells the multitudes, go away, to go home. He sends them away and then says, now that Jesus goes into a mountain and he prays. So he tells the disciples what to do. Go to the other side. Get on the ship and go. So the disciples are doing what they were told to do. They obeyed him. They got into the ship and they were rowing to get to the other side. And Jesus goes up into a mountain to pray. And he's there alone, it says. And suddenly in the midst of the sea, in our reading here, it tells us that the waves were tossed, wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. So we see the disciples on a boat. The storm is there, all about them. And they're pushing to get to the other side in obedience to what he told them. They could have let the wind carry them back to the shore from where they came from. But they were going against the wind because it is what their master told them to do. The easy way would have been let the boat go back where it came from. That's easy. But that doesn't mean that there's safety in that. Because what man could think would have been safe, their boat could have capsized going back. They were rowing to do what the master told them, go forward. And they did. And they're going. And suddenly, in all those waves, they're afraid. So there's a terror. They're afraid. The waves are great. They see what appears to be like a ghost, a spirit, is walking on the water. They know a man can't walk on water. And he's coming towards them. Now, suddenly, the waves and the sea and the storm isn't what they're afraid of. It's a ghost that is coming to them, a spirit that is walking on the water. Now they're doubly afraid. And they cried out for fear, it says. More so than when the waves were there. And Jesus tells them, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And that's a lesson here that I believe all of us can really come to and understand. Our Lord has given us a direction to go from here. In order to get to the other side, we're going to encounter all kinds of frightful things. Storms will take place. Things will happen in our life. We are not to go back to what we came from. It's easier for the body to do that, to go back. But there's no safety in that. What we might think would be safer, is deadlier for the soul. And so as we have embarked on this journey, brothers and sisters, that our Lord has told us to go on, and he is with us. It says he is apart in the mountain to pray all alone, and yet his spirit is there with them, and he sees them, and he comes to them in the midst of the storm on the sea, and he comes unto them, and he says, be of good cheer. Why? It is I. Do not be afraid. And so whatever circumstances in life we may find ourselves in, Jesus tells us, be not afraid. I am with you. Be of good cheer. And we see Peter here who really does a remarkable thing. Peter sees him, and it's not that he doesn't believe it's the Lord, because if he didn't believe him, he never would have stepped out into the water. But he said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. They're seeing Jesus, who has power over the water. The water cannot subdue him. The water is beneath him. He's not beneath the water. The water is beneath him. And they're afraid, and they hear his voice, and they know his words. That's the master. Just what he said, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. They know it's him. And Peter, who is already embarked on a path with Christ, walking with him, he now also wants to enter into this experience that the Lord is in. He says, if it's you, bid me to come and to walk on the water. Is it wrong for Peter to have wanted to do that? You know, oftentimes, even in our own lives, we will experience moments just like Peter did. We'll experience moments, and Paul talks of those experiences in his epistles. Paul talks about them. Peter talks about those experiences where you are entered into a communion with Christ, where you feel that the waves are underneath you. You are in the power of the Spirit. You are over all matter that is before you, in the sense that you are victorious, and you're seeking to be to relish and to get into that, be immersed in that feeling entirely. And so Peter is asking for that. Ask me to come. If Peter was asking something amiss, the Lord never would have allowed that. The Lord would have rebuked him. But I believe that what Peter was asking for, the Lord wanted him to experience, because Peter wanted to experience it. Not just walk on water and to say, hey, I walked on water. We don't see Peter bragging about walking on water to Paul later. We don't see him bragging about these experiences that he had. Now, he wanted to enter into that. This is pre-Pentecost. This is before he was endowed with the Holy Spirit of God, which you and I have, brothers and sisters, and can experience these moments as Peter did here. Not in the physical realm, no, but in the spiritual. And this is a constant battle that Peter is experiencing. We see him experience between the sensual and the spiritual. And we see that his senses, when he saw the waves. First it says, Jesus says, come. Jesus said, come. You want to experience You want to experience me? Come. Come to me. And I will show you that in the power of the Spirit, you can overcome everything. There's no storm that is too large for you. There's nothing that will overwhelm you. Come. Experience who I am. Be of good cheer. Be not afraid. Come. Walk with me. I'll show you what it means to walk in the Spirit, in the power that I will give you, where you will fear nothing anymore. You'll not fear death. You won't fear those beatings that Peter later received. He had this very same experience when he was beaten and told, do not preach in the name of Jesus again. He had this exact same experience where he walked on the water. He said, am I going to listen to a man? I count it an honor that God would actually have me suffer for him so that I could spread his word. He gave me this basket of fragments, and he said, go and give it. He gave me this fish to go feed the hungry, to give them this bread of life, to preach Jesus. And I'm going to now shirk that responsibility? No. And so he experiences this same walking on the water throughout his life, as you and I also can, brothers and sisters. But we can also be overwhelmed and overcome by fear. When it says here, it says, come. It says, Peter, what does he do? He comes down out of the ship. We can just picture them on this boat, waves, dark, walking on water. Man's coming to them. They're afraid. And he's climbing out of the boat, puts one foot into the water, puts his other foot up, stands up. He's walking on water. Walking to go to Jesus. And then he says, and when he saw, this is the sensual, the senses, he saw. What did he see? He sees Jesus. He's walking to Jesus. Jesus bid him to come. You know, I know we can probably focus on this so much and even make Peter look less than by saying, look, he didn't have faith. He took his eyes off Jesus and saw him. And yes, that all took place. We have to also consider what his desire was to experience. And Jesus gave that to him. But because of, and so the senses, and this is what we live by all the time, the sensual, the things that we see, hear, touch, taste, feel, all those things are the here and the now. Those things control us. That's the problem. Those things control us. Where there is sensual, it overcomes the spiritual. It overcomes it. It drives the spiritual away. And so that moment that Peter was having, walking on water, is being driven away by what? By the senses. He fell prey to the sensual once again, and he starts to sink. Brothers and sisters, how often do we fall prey to the sensual things of this life? And when there's that, there's no victory. There's no more power in the Spirit. Now suddenly, fear is back around us. That faith in Christ. Lord, if it's you, call me. Jesus says, come. We walked out. We went in faith. He told me to come. I go. I'm victorious until I take my eyes off of him. When I am in him, there's victory, guaranteed. But when I'm focused on the circumstances around me, whatever it might be, we're not even experiencing those things that those before us have experienced, generations before us, and now in other parts of the world people are experiencing. We live such sheltered lives here, all of us. It doesn't matter. We're all sheltered in some way. We feel that we're protected by our government, protected by this. You know, we just have this big old blanket of protection around us. We're relying upon the sensual. We have a military that's stronger than anyone's. We have this. We're feeling all good about that. It can all just disappear like nothing. God can show us that This isn't what I want you to put your eyes on. Because now you're going to have fear. We're going to have fear now when these things coming about on us. We have fear. Why? Because we see things are not the way we wanted them to be. And so the sensual overwhelms and overcomes the spiritual and drives it out, drives the spiritual man out. And so this is what Peter is experiencing. So Peter, he saw the wind is boisterous. He was afraid. Why was he afraid? Jesus is with him. He believed in Jesus, and he said, if it's you, call me. He believed him, and he stepped out, and he did. He walked on water. He was afraid because he allowed the senses to overwhelm him. And so when the senses are in motion and in command, what falls by the wayside? Faith. Faith. Those things that are not seen, that you know to be true. You know it's true. There's evidence in the things. Faith is that evidence. The things that are not seen, you know to be real. That suddenly vanishes. That vanishes away. And now you're stuck in your circumstances. You have no way out. Peter's done. He's done. The senses overwhelmed him, faith diminished, no more strength over the waves. The waves are swallowing him up. And he cried, Lord, save me. Did Jesus wait till he drowned? And said, that's what happens. This is what happens when you take your eyes off me. No, that's not who our Lord is. Does it say he waited till he got to his neck? It just says immediately. It's that cry, brothers and sisters, that the Lord will never turn away. When we realize that we have been rowing, when we stopped rowing and allowed the easy way, and we see danger now, and we see we're sinking. We see we allowed our own thoughts, our knowledge, our wisdom to get into the way and brush aside all power and all might and all wisdom and all knowing God. And we see there's no hope right now. I am drowning. I am done. It's over. Lord, save me. What else can you say? What else can we do? Lord, save me. Jesus won't let you go. Immediately. Immediately. That's what the Bible says here. Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, why did you doubt? Why? Did I prove to you that I was one who won't deliver what I promised to you? Have I ever showed you that my promises I don't keep? Why did you doubt? What could Peter have answered? He allowed the senses. We allow things in this life, the temporal things of this life, to control the spiritual man. And in essence, drive him under the water. And so, we have consciences that will be pricked. As I'm sinking, do I say, yeah, but you know, the Lord's merciful? No. The Lord said, you're sinking. Lord, save me. Is that my response? Is that my response? Lord, save me. Whatever it is that I've allowed the senses to overwhelm me, and the spiritual man is replaced with fear. I know it's fear. I know I shouldn't do this. I know I shouldn't act like this. I know I shouldn't yearn for this or whatever it is. I know I shouldn't. I know. But a little bit more. And the fear is replaced. We want to subdue fear. And the only way that can be done is through lies. No other way. Lies. Lie, lie, lie. We lie to ourselves. We allow ourselves to be lied to because truth demands a change. And so Peter here is told, why did you doubt? And now suddenly, he's walking on water again. Jesus saved him. Peter learned a lesson. Peter's going to learn some more lessons. Peter's going to learn more lessons. And brothers and sisters, you and I are learning lessons every day. Do we look at those experiences in our life as lessons? Here's where I did wrong. Here's what I did. Here's where I need to be strengthened. Here's where I didn't cry for the Lord to save me. Here's where I felt I could do it on my own, and so on. Here's where I thought that I could allow sin in my life. And seeing those things, there needs to be a response. And so it says here, when they came into the ship, the wind ceased. There's no boisterous waves. There's nothing anymore. Jesus is with them in the ship. It says, then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And you know, that's where we find all our rest. It is in him. And so for you and for me, brothers and sisters, I believe every one of us in this room would, in the physical sense, would love to be able to walk on water. But that's not what Jesus is going to give us to do in the physical realm. But in the spiritual realm, he will. He will give us the victory over all the things that doubt seeks to swallow up. He will have us to rise above and put beneath us all the things that will create fear and havoc in our lives. The victory is only in him. And it is in a full submission unto him. And it is in wanting, as Peter did, to experience that communion, that bond, that union with him, to enter into that experience where the impossible is possible. That which is impossible for you to do, Paul says it, it is possible with God. And Peter wanted to experience those impossibilities, and he did. And God gives us those things too. He gives us these victories. The impossibility that I'm able to overcome certain things. And what I look at is defeat. I'm defeated. I'm not. Because Jesus said, come. And Jesus said, immediately, when I said, Lord, save me, he's there. We have to want him. We have to want to enter into those experiences. We can't just look at that and say, oh, I don't care. I don't care what happened in that on that water. I don't care what Peter experienced. Or, oh, wow, that would have been really cool to see, and so on. No, these stories are written for us, or accounts for us to really put ourselves in that boat and step out on that water and walk towards Jesus. To feel that his presence in our life, dear ones, what more is there in life that you want? Or that I would want. What? Oh, the sensual? Really? Well, we have it, but there's only fear there. Faith drives that out. Faith drives fear away. Peter believed. He had no fear. He walked on water. And so it is my prayer, brothers and sisters, that each one of us would also seek to experience those moments with our Lord. Yes, we will have defeats, as Peter did. We'll have moments of doubt, but we have to recognize those moments and not deaden the conscience and not allow someone else to lie to us, to deaden our consciences. It's okay. Well, it doesn't matter. It's just how you were taught and so on. No, look at Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Look to him and let him be the one to say, come and follow where he leads us. May God bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.
We see the example of Jesus dividing the loaves and fishes to provide for the needs of many. And the disciples embracing in faith that which they were given to distribute unto to the crowds, reminded of the... It's possible to look at that very small supply and become discouraged. But reminded of the lyric that says, little is much when God is in it. And we may not receive a fish and a bread, but we were reminded on Wednesday night from Ephesians chapter 4 what each has been given. Unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And the fruits of that grace is great. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. I hope that as each of us have heard the word, that we have pondered what the next step of growth and trust that the Lord is asking of us to take in his grace, and that we would be encouraged not to fear, but simply move forward in faith. Not to doubt or question, but to take that step and do the things that we know are true and right and just. That we can be of service to the Lord and fulfill that which he's calling for us to do. May God bless his word. Amen.